He came in, took her by the hand, lifted her up. And immediately, the fever left her. The word immediately comes again. And she served them. Verse 32. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick, and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Now one reason why they gathered after sunset was because most of the people were afraid of disobeying the Sabbath that the Pharisees had put upon them. The whole city came, and in verse 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Looking over here in verse 41, the leper came to Jesus. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand. Everybody say hand. See, in Mark chapter 1, his hand is emphasized. There are other places where he does, but here in chapter 1, as he began his ministry, he talks about his hand. He lifted her by the hand. He put out his hand. Remember this, because in Mark 16, we will see hands, but this time different set of hands, our hands. Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So Jesus began with hands, the laying on of hands. Just for our information and cross-reference, notice the story in verse 32, 33, 34. There they were in Peter and Simon's house, and the whole city came to the house. Obviously, there was no room. Verse 34 says, Jesus healed those who were sick. But let's cross reference to the Gospel of Luke for that story in chapter 4, verse 40. Cross reference to Luke 4, verse 40. Because I want to emphasize on hands here. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who were anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. You notice that? He laid his hands on every one of them. So now we have the picture that Jesus here is beginning his ministry. Remember, Mark chapter 1 is the beginning of his ministry. When Jesus started off in the ministry, he used his hands a lot. Today we have many other methods that we use. We use blowing, we use handkerchief, we use some people I've seen, they shake their leg at people, you know. Very creative methods. I thank God that the Bible didn't say, and they shall lay legs and they shall recover. Right. But have you seen anyone casting out devil? I've seen some people, and they don't really follow the Bible, and there the demon-possessed guy is down there, and they're putting their leg on the chest, on that person. And I think that's gone to a very extreme sense. And it's casting out demon, and more looks like wrestling with demons. In Mark 1, as Jesus began his ministry, there was an emphasis on his hands. It seems that when Jesus started his ministry, he laid his hands on the sick a lot. Then as his fame spread abroad, as people came to know that he had a healing ministry, he began to move into different other methods. Let's observe that development in the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 2, some time had passed by. Mark chapter 2, now we're going to trace it through on one theme and then follow again. Mark 2, in verse 2, it was said that he was in the house. Again, they found out that he was in the house. Same house, probably. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith. Now there is now a demonstration of a higher level of faith.
Jesus said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And then there was all kinds of reaction. Jesus knew it in verse 8. And then Jesus says in verse 9, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you," look at verse 11, "there is now a development from his hands. It is now moving to his command." Now, I know he's teaching the word in all these cases, but it now moves to a command. Jesus did not touch the person. Jesus did not lay hands on the person, because these people had demonstrated a great faith. It was Simon and Andrew's house, and a lot of people were there. They couldn't get in, and Jesus was just teaching the word. Imagine, as you're teaching the word, you're interrupted by the dust falling down. And when they look carefully, and I'm sure Simon Peter was very concerned for his house, wondering, why is this dust falling down in the middle of Jesus preaching? And before long, he looked, and lo, he can see the sky. There's a hole up there now. And as he look up there and see the sky, there is this guy looking down at him. Right? And you must remember that it's not just a small little hole. That man was paralyzed. You don't expect that they dig a hole that is about 1 foot in diameter or 1.5 feet in diameter, and then they tie a rope around that man's neck and let him down. It has to be pretty big, right, to let the man down. And so, when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus was very pleased. I don't know what Peter thought when he saw the roof, whether he was pleased. But here, because of the level of their faith, Jesus moved into the different level of ministry. He moved into speaking. He command, and a man took out his bed and walked. And you notice, I'm just wanting to point to the level of increasing anointing in his life. In chapter 3, he continues to use that method now. In verse 3 and 4, "Then he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' They kept silent. When he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man," he said to the man, in other words, he commanded the man, "'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." There was no laying on our hands. He commanded, and a man was made whole. Notice that now his fame continued growing. And verse 10, it's now different. "For he healed many," Mark 3 verse 10, "so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him." Now, in chapter 3, instead of Jesus reaching out like in chapter 1 or Jesus commanding, now Jesus doesn't even do anything. Everybody just wanted to touch him. Everybody was pressing on him. Look at the amount of faith that was growing in the people. And they were pressing to touch him in order to receive healing. Chapter 4 is the teaching. One of the major parables in the Gospel of Mark. But in chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, notice the increase in the anointing that continued to flow. Here you have two incidences, and I'm going to show forth one principle here, that the anointing of God and how it flows and the methods that people use to bring healing, whether it be a handkerchief or hands or whatever methods, depends very much on the level of faith of people. When there's a healing anointing, It depends on how people are receiving the healing anointing, and that will determine the type of methods to be used. Here in Mark chapter 5, in verse 22 and 23, behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now look at his faith level. And begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, and then he said, lay your hands on her that she may be healed. That was his faith level. His faith level was such that he needed Jesus to come and lay hands on his daughter to be healed. But here is another woman, while Jesus was going there to heal Jairus' daughter. She had heard about Jesus in verse 27-28. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now look at what she said in verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now look at these two persons. Jairus made the confession. Jairus said, if you will come and lay hands on my daughter, she shall be healed. He confessed and he got what he received. In that sense that Jesus will come down to the level that he has verbalized his faith. Now the woman with the issue of blood was different. She confessed and she said, if I touch his clothes. So according to their level of confession, and according to the level that they have released their faith, Jesus was going to work in their lives. And we need to realize that, so that we could receive from Jesus even today. I'm sure you remember the story in Matthew 8, how this centurion comes to Jesus and says that you don't have to come. You just command and my servant will be healed. You just command and my servant will be healed. See, all of us must understand that the power of God is always there all the time ever since Jesus rose from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God. The power of God is always there to bring healing to our life. It's always there to set us free. Whether in your bedroom, in this place, in your church, in any place. And it depends on what people have locked themselves into. If they said, when they lay hands on me, I shall be healed, you have to go along with them. Because that's what they have locked their faith to receive. That's what I call the release point, the switch of faith. They needed that. But for different people, as they confess their level of faith, they will receive. And so that's how we can receive an anointing. Sometimes when you're in a big crowd and perhaps a man of God comes and there's no opportunity for the laying on of hands and you want to receive an anointing in some way, not necessarily for healing but in some other way, and you confess and you say that, you know, if you lay hands on me then the anointing will come, you have straight away locked yourself into that. But if you say instead in your faith level, of course you have to go by that faith level, and when your faith level comes to the area where you say that if I sit in that presence, I will receive it, then you receive it. See, we lock ourselves into the level that we can receive from God. The methods of God are tailored to our confession in a release of the anointing. Now, here we go on to chapter 6. And we just want to trace the development of the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus now comes to his hometown in verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? By his hands. Only the Gospel of Mark records his hands there. Then they say, Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And verse 5, Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And sometimes we say, Lord, you have moved so powerfully before. I mean, just look over just now in the earlier Gospels at the crowd pressing on him in chapter 3, verse 10. They were pressing on him to be healed. And then there was this woman with the issue of blood. She touched his garments and she was healed. But there were probably others who were touching who did not release that faith. But here, when suddenly he comes to his hometown, the anointing seems to go down. But we all know this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not talking about a man, any other man of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, 24 hours a day, the anointing of God is on his life. It is without measure on him. Jesus stood in the office of an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist.